This is Joe Cummings, CEO of the National Soccer Coaches Association, and you are listening to Cut to the Chase.
This episode is all about change, and it's brought to you by a film called Footballistas for Life. Now, this documentary is about teens in Oakland, California, who transformed their prison playground into a soccer field, and in so doing, stopped gun violence in their neighborhood. Producer-director June Stinson and her crew have worked independently for 2 years putting this film together and are now in the final post-production phase. If you're listening to this episode and it's before Tuesday, July 15th, you can donate to the film's crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter. As of this recording, they are $285 short of their goal. If you're listening to this podcast episode after Tuesday, July 15th, visit footballistasforlife.com to view the documentary's trailer and find out how these agents of change are doing. This episode was made possible by the generous donation of Tamara Donkersgood of Vancouver, Canada. And now, let's cut to the chase. I've often wondered who's leading the leaders of the North American soccer community. As it turns out, Joe Cummings is one such person. He leads the day-to-day operations of the world's largest soccer coaching organization. The NSCAA was established in 1941, and Joe's been at the helm since September 2009. Because that's the way we've always done it. Sometimes that's the only answer that a corporation or organizational leadership has for the question, why are we doing it this way? Because that's the way we've always done it. The NSCAA has maintained a focus on helping U.S. coaches do what they do while growing and cultivating relationships globally. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, we are always driven by the pillars of the association, which are these three words: learn, participate, belong. Learn, of course, is education. Participate is events. And belong is our membership. Now, our organization is made up of a very diverse demographic. Let's just start, first of all, with age. A lot of what we do via our web, we do via email, but we still have a number of members that will receive information about the convention by a direct mail piece. They will register taking a paper registration and send it back into us. So when we develop any sort of a program, we've always done it this way. We do consider the ways we've always done it. But we have, over the past 2 or 3 years, moved very purposefully towards becoming an organization that can reach all of our members through many different means. Internationally, there is a globalization of the NSCAA. There's no doubt about that. Many organizations, many federations know of the NSCAA now. But it's taken a great deal of work over the past 10 years or so to introduce the NSCAA to international organizations. But we've been very successful in doing that.
Change happens whether you like it or not.
Yes.
And it's really exciting, I think, to feel empowered to impact that change. Jurgen Klinsmann caught a lot of flack recently for leaving Landon Donovan off the U.S. men's national team roster. Some corners, there was a lot of flack for Jurgen Klinsmann for adding Julian Green to that roster that competed in the World Cup in Brazil. Not only that, but subbing him into the latter stages of what turned out to be the last game that they played in Brazil, even though he scored. And this is what coaches have to deal with sometimes is changes to the roster, changes to the lineup. You got to put in the best person for the job. How do you know when it's time? And specifically, what are some of the signs that show you when it's time to add or subtract to the personnel that you are dealing with in trying to lead a group in a certain direction. You might say, wow, that person is really doing some amazing things. We'd love to bring them in. Or it can go the other way, whether it's, you know, maybe it's a matter of core competencies and reshuffling roles and responsibilities. How do you know when it's time to make a change?
There is no greater responsibility that a leader or a manager has of an organization, and a team is an organization, than to make a change when he or she feels that change needs to be made. Relative to a soccer team, now in 2014, we have the opportunity to rely on so much testing that may be able to answer the questions as to whether they still have the ability or the capability to be an important member of the team. And I'm talking about the range of the technical, the tactical, the fitness, and the psychological. All of those things can be tested. Every single one of those things can be tested now that helps the decision maker make that decision. The one thing that I will say in this choice, in this decision, and this isn't whether I agree or disagree with the decision that Jürgen Klinsmann made, is the thing that I was impressed with most was that Jürgen didn't shy away once the decision was made in answering the questions. In both regards, those that were not kept on the team and those that he chose to keep on the team. And that's the thing that I feel was most, that I was most impressed by from a management and a leadership standpoint, was making the tough decision is his responsibility. It's the responsibility of any person that leads an organization. And the simple test is what I'm about to do in the best interest of the group. He felt it was. But then he opened himself up and said, ask the questions. Let's review it. Let me talk about it. And I'll tell you why I chose the 23. That, to me, is the second level of being a manager or being a leader.
It's not easy to be vulnerable. And it's not easy to step up and say, hey, this was a decision that's made. I've been appointed to make these decisions. And this is what's going to happen. So, I mean, hey, it's it's a tough spot, and that's why you're in it, and that's why Jürgen's in it. And it's definitely something that leaders of soccer clubs and corporations everywhere need to feel comfortable and know that there is some support for how they do things.
It is tough. There's no doubt about it. But when the outcome is that the organization that you're responsible for is better because of that decision, then everyone feels good about the decision being made.
Earlier this year, the Dutch Football Association, KNVB, announced that Guus Hiddink will take over as national men's team head coach duties after Louis van Gaal and Danny Blind, who will be Guus Hiddink's assistant, will assume the head coaching role after that for 2018 Euros, which is quite a bit of succession planning there.
To
map it all out is just, I mean, it certainly doesn't leave any room for doubt as to what's going on. And this kind of speaks to change in leadership, which can be the lifeblood of any organization. So, you know, we've looked at the connection between Danny Blind and Guus Hiddink and how that will turn into a head coaching leadership role. Who have you mentored, and how did those bonds or relationships develop? Or did they simply choose you, or, you know, how did that come about? And the second way of looking at it is, how are you grooming young leaders?
One of the neat things about reaching a stage in a career that I'm at, being someone that has spent 40 years in this game now and being in my mid-60s, it's you have the opportunity to no longer worry about what it is you're chasing. You know, what's the next I'm the junior varsity coach. I want to be the varsity coach. I coach at the high school level. I want to coach at the college level. I coach at the college level. Can I coach the pros? Not having to worry about that when you reach a certain point in your career means that you exist to make sure that the next generation of administrators, coaches, leaders has the opportunity to listen to you, follow you, pay attention to you. For me to say that there have been specific folks that I have tapped, that I have said this is the next CEO of the NSCAA, that doesn't happen, hasn't happened, because as of right now, I'm staying for goodness knows how long. So that process for me, as long as the board and all of the folks that are responsible for my employment can consider that I'm still doing a good job. For me, it's an ongoing process. The great thing about the NSCAA is that the people that are here in the office, the 20 full-time employees and the six or seven interns that we have, all to some degree have expertise, so that the mentoring and the mentee process is one of back and forth. I many times will ask folks in this office to educate me as much as I'm going to educate them on a topic. So for me, it's an ongoing process. It isn't one where I can point to an individual and say that I've decided that this individual is going to spend a little bit more time with me or be with me or be readied for his or her next step. I do probe a great deal, though, and ask people, what their thoughts are relative to where will they be going next, and then that helps me design that plan.
Sometimes when you go from one organization to another, there are different priorities that need to be dealt with. One organization that you're dealing with might have more of a crisis management situation than another. How do you know which priorities come first in terms of putting out fires? Because you can't do it all at once. Well, you can, but that might not turn out well. So, in terms of dealing with the biggest fires first, or the biggest crises first, and handling and turning something around and going forward, how do you decide which comes first?
For me at the NSCAA is very different answer than if I had arrived at the doorsteps of the NSCAA not having spent any time here. I'll answer it in two different ways. With the NSCAA, it was much easier. As a matter of fact, I gave to the selection committee something that I called Project 2020, Perfect Vision. It was a play on the words and the years, and that I said maybe I'll stay here through 2020, as far as the position of CEO was concerned. But I listed for them 10, which would be my targets, 10 things that I wanted to improve upon. They are still up on the wall beside me here, and I did prioritize them. But interestingly, that prioritizing after just 6 months of evaluating was changed dramatically. So I had the advantage of knowing the NSCAA. In not knowing the association, if you've joined an organization, there's always this sense that you have been selected, chosen because of some level of expertise that you have. And the risk many times is that you will join that organization and assume that because you have been selected to lead that organization, that you have the answers. And I think that's the biggest mistake that anyone can make. The answers come from what you observe and what you hear. And two eyes and two ears and one mouth, look at things twice as much as you speak, listen to things twice as much as you speak, because you've got the two eyes and you've got the two ears. So why you would feel the need to be talking all the time about the way you think it could be done, I think is dangerous. So for me, anyone that steps into a managerial position and doesn't use time, whatever the amount of time that may be, to listen to the people in the organization and to look at how those people behave and then form opinions on what their priorities are, It can be very, very dangerous. I fortunately had the luck of having knowledge of the association, so it was perhaps a little bit easier for me. Now, having said that, I spent almost a year before I wrote the master plan and presented it to our executive committee as to what I wanted to do to change the association, to repurpose, rebrand, redirect the association.
Wow, this is great. Okay, so let's talk about succession planning a little bit more, because I'm really it's definitely one of the topics that I personally am interested in. And I know that it's something that a lot of soccer clubs that take maybe a little bit more mom and pop approach to doing things, this isn't their full-time job. They just, their kids want to play, et cetera, they want to keep it going, they want to contribute. They don't necessarily take a business-like approach to doing things, because this is not their life. They're just pitching in. And one of the things that gets dropped, one of the balls that gets dropped a lot of the times, is succession planning. Who is coming after? Because people get burnt out when they've been doing it for 20 years, or they don't see a development plan for how they can do different roles, so they feel a little reinvigorated and they can keep going. And there's no, like, succession planning is not really something that's mapped out by some of these smaller clubs. And it even happens at some of the big clubs, because sometimes it's seen as a threat. It's after my job. Well, that doesn't have to be a bad thing. Maybe it's a kid who's 20 years old, and yeah, they want to lead the club one day. They want to aspire to be the technical director of the club one day. Why is that? Things get ugly, and
That's right.
what advice do you have to smaller clubs, whether it's the leadership of those clubs or a coach who would like to be a technical director one day, about succession planning?
It's something that I'm giving a lot of thought to relative to the NSCAA because we will at some point have to have a succession plan. There will be a CEO following me at some point. One of the things that I've realized in starting a number of clubs and turning them over to other people is that I kept looking for someone that was going to take the club and continue to do the things that I had done. The NSCAA is a perfect example of my learning in this manner, because the person that's following me won't be me. I'm the type of person from an operational standpoint that is both transitional, transactional, and transformational. So I can move organizations from point A to point B. Okay, I can take, but I can also transact the day-to-day business of the organization. We are poised right now with all of what's gone on over the past half dozen years. Membership is up by 30%. Education is up by 20%. We have over 30 youth soccer state partnerships. We have close to 30 high school partnerships, all educational partnerships. We have five international partnerships with federations or associations. So we've done all of that in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm always asking myself, of me, what's next? What's next? So this is NSCAA 2.0, we're done. NSCAA 2.0 is done. We've done what we've wanted to do over the past half dozen years. What is 3.0 going to look like? I don't know. So the succession plan should be someone who says, Joe, have you thought about this? Or says to our board, have you thought about this? And I'll give you a specific example. 2 years ago, we were on Fox when it was Fox Soccer. We did 20 broadcasts a year. 12 men's games, college games, 8 women's games. Fantastic. We were on broadcast television, sat on your couch, took your remote, you watched the NSCAA game on Friday night. As Fox Soccer disappeared and Fox One and Fox Two began, our ability to broadcast those games was impacted financially. We couldn't afford to do that anymore. NSCAA TV developed. Last night, as I looked at our NSCAA TV website, you can see an NWSL game. You can see a high school all-star game. You can see a USL pro game. And the announcement of our college schedule is coming up in the next week or so. How did NSCAA TV come about? I was not smart enough to think about NSCAA TV as a website. So maybe there's an individual who's far more creative, far more intelligent, has bigger thoughts than I did and do right now. That to me is succession planning. It's not saying the person that takes over for Joe Cummings is going to be just like Joe Cummings. No, I think you blow that up. And this is where most succession planning fails, because they try and say, well, we need somebody that's, going to carry on the legacy of that person. I look differently. I look for, and I'm thinking a lot about succession planning right now. What is the NSCAA? What does 3.0, version 3.0 look like? And who's the person that's going to introduce version 3.0 to us all?
Joe, I can't thank you enough for your time.
You are very welcome.
This has been fantastic. Thank you for coming on, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
We sure will. Thank you very much.